Hello, Mount Olive Church family and guest viewers. We welcome you to another week of video recorded services. Not the way that we would like to worship, but the way we have to worship during this pandemic that we're facing. As you can tell, we're recording today from our fellowship hall. I stand in front of a wall that contains many of the previous pastors, reminding us of the heritage that we have here at Mount Olive Baptist Church. This church has faced many challenges together, and God has brought us through all of them, and He'll bring us through this one, and one day soon we'll be able to gather in the sanctuary and to worship the way we desire. But until then, we will worship the way that we must, and we will thank God for all of His blessing on our lives. So thank you for joining with us today. Trust that everyone is continuing to stay well, to stay in and abide by the guidelines that are being given to us by our leaders. So we're thankful for your presence today. I want to say thank you to our church family for the many ways that you've been ministering in the midst of what we're facing. I want to thank you, first of all, for your generous gift, our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, reminding you that all that we give to this goes to support our missionaries that serve us throughout North America that are ministering to people in the midst of the pandemic that we're facing. Our final offering total was $8,900. What a great job. Thank you for what you've done. Also, thank you to our church family that was able to provide this week for all of our widows and widowers a blessing bag. Many of them confined to their homes alone without anyone there with them, and we thought this would be a great way to encourage them and let them know that they're thought about during this time. So thank you to our church family for providing that very special ministry. Also this morning, I want to remind you, in just a few moments, we'll begin our message. Today, we're going to look at a text from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. This is post-resurrection and a time that Jesus is passing on His ministry to His disciples and His followers. And I think a great reminder for us as we seek to minister together.
Oh! Cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair. Cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I've ever done to separate my heart from the God who stays. He's too high. Every time I thought I let you down, always thought I had to earn my way. But I'm learning you don't work that way, no. Somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. My past can't separate. I'm yours forever. My sin can't separate. My scars can't separate. My failures can't separate. I'm yours forever. No enemy can separate. No power of hell can take away. Your love for me will never change. Tell me nothing I have ever done to separate my heart from the God who stays.
Our text today comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. This is a post-resurrection encounter of Jesus with his disciples. His time on earth was coming to a close. And oftentimes when we think about the resurrection, we go up through the resurrection and the encounter at the grave that day, and then forget about those things that followed that. This is a very important stage in the life and ministry of Jesus. He is passing on his ministry to his followers, and in fact, passing on his ministry to us. The disciples were facing a multitude of feelings at this time. Peter felt dejected because he had denied Christ. Judas had betrayed him, and all the disciples had forsaken him. Other gospels tell us that they had decided just to return to their previous lives. Peter had said he was going fishing, and the others said, "We're going with you." And so they had returned to a quote, normal life. But Jesus was not through with them, and his ministry was not over. In fact, it's just beginning. And he comes to his disciples, gathers with them, and speaks some very important words to them. We find those words in the text that we read today. Then the same day at evening, beginning at the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we thank you today for this time to gather, to open your word, to read together, to be reminded of a time when the ministry was passed from the Lord to his followers, to his disciples, and ultimately to us that live in the world today. Father, may we be faithful servants. May we seek to be the best that we can be at the ministry that you've given us to do. Father, we commit today the sharing of your word. We pray that you'd use it. Bless it as it goes out. May it bring forth fruit in our lives. And we commit to you the speaking of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have here in this text two different encounters. Jesus had already met with his disciples with the absence of Thomas. And he had given to them the commission, what we call the Great Commission. We find it in all four of the Gospels, and we find it in Acts chapter 1. It's a little bit different here in John's Gospel than in the other Gospels. The other Gospels give a little more explanation. But he simply said here, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he commissioned them, he gave them a blessing, and he gave them his Spirit to empower them. So they were given some specific things: a specific mission, a specific message, and a specific method. The world has always been in desperate need of what Jesus gave to his disciples: this mission, this message, and this method to be applied to their lives. But never has there been a greater need or a time of greater opportunity than we have before us today. Our whole world talks about prayer. Our whole world talks about God. And it's a great opportunity for the church to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard reports just this past week where there are churches where there are thousands of people making decisions to commit their life to Christ. So it's an opportunity for us to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given to us as he is about to pass from this world and return to the Father, to carry that message to the people that are in need. And we want to examine here in this text the things that Jesus said to his disciples and to apply them to our lives. When Jesus came and met with his disciples, there was a great deal of anxiety in their lives. And Jesus was aware of this, but he came to them not to trouble them, but to bring them comfort and peace. We see that peace that comes to them by where he stood, what he said, and what they saw. His presence was there. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. The presence of Jesus is an awe-inspiring thing. We don't have that physical presence today, but we do have his presence. He is here with us. He is among us in our time of great trouble, anxiety, and stress. His presence is very real in our lives. He has not forgotten us, but he cares for us. And he spoke some specific words, "Peace be to you." In today's world, there is a marked, profound, desperate need for peace, and a peace that can come only from God and from his presence in our lives. So Jesus came with his presence to bring them peace. He spoke the words to them, "Peace be unto you." Be at peace. As desperate as things are, as difficult as things are, as challenging as these things are that we face today, we can have peace by relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he gave them proof of who he was. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Did they really need to see his hands or his side to know who he was? When he appeared, I think there was no doubt in the minds of the disciples who this was. They knew the Lord, and he was there with them. And then Jesus spoke to them the words, giving to them a commission to go and to do ministry. In verse 21, "And Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also am sending you.'" The little word "as" reminds us that in a similar manner that Jesus had come to the world with a message of love and hope and peace and deliverance, Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go into the world with this same message: peace, love, hope, and deliverance from the sin that besets us and it challenges so many people in their lives. So he gave them this ministry that they were to carry it on. And he gives to them this mission. They were feeling down and challenged and even, maybe even depressed. But Jesus was not finished with them. In fact, their lives were just beginning. The 3 years that they'd spent with Jesus, traveling with him to experience the miracles, to listen to the teachings, to be a part of his life for those years that he traveled on earth. They were dedicated, devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that time on earth had come to a close, and they were challenged by the experience of going through the crucifixion and their separation from Christ. They didn't know where to turn or what to do. Their feeling was at that point that their ministry was over. They would just return to their previous life. But in reality, the ministry was not over. The ministry had just begun. Those 3 years were preparation for what Jesus had for them in their future. And he was just preparing them for what lay ahead of them. So he is giving to them here this challenge to go into the world and to carry this message of love and hope and deliverance to a world that's in desperate need. So the disciples received this message. But one of the disciples is missing. It's Thomas. We unfairly call him Thomas the Doubter. Thomas turns out not to be a doubter, but a believer. He devotes his life to kingdom work and to ministry. He asked for evidence. We sometimes condemn a little bit, maybe Thomas, In that he said, I will not believe until I see the print of the nails in his hands and see the hole made by the spear in his side. But the other disciples received that same evidence. When Jesus came to them and presented himself to them, he showed them the evidence that existed in his body. Thomas was not necessarily a doubter, but he wanted to know for sure. He wanted confirmation that Jesus was alive, and that it's Jesus that had given this commission to them, and Jesus that had appeared to them. So beginning in verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. There's reason for doubt. People that have died, and Thomas knew that he had died on the cross, that he had been buried, and now they're saying they have seen the Lord. So Thomas responds and he says to them, you know, unless I see the evidence, unless I see those holes that were made in his hand by the nails, unless I see the evidence of the spear that entered his side from the Roman soldier, I will not believe. I just want to know that this really is Jesus, and this is him that has appeared to you. So the disciples are sharing these things with him, and he said, I won't believe until I see those things. And then the scripture tells us after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. A lot of people make a big deal that they're in a room, the door's shut, and Jesus appears. Some say that's impossible. If Jesus can come out of a closed grave, he can enter a closed room. And he appears to them, and when he appears to them, and Thomas being with them, and stood in their midst, he says again those words, peace to you. Be at peace. Take comfort. Then he said to Thomas, the scripture doesn't record for us that Thomas asked at this point for the evidence. He had told the disciples that he wanted to see some evidence. But it doesn't say that Thomas said to the Lord. It just says that Jesus said to Thomas. And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. So Jesus invites him to receive the evidence that he has requested. Now, the scripture does not tell us that Thomas put his finger into the nail prints. It does not tell us that he put his hand into his side. It doesn't even tell us that he examined carefully these things. It just gives to us his response. After Jesus invites him to do this, we have the response of Thomas. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. So all we have is the response of Thomas. And so we know Thomas is not a doubting Thomas, but a believing Thomas. He makes a confession of who is Lord of his life and who is God of this world. My Lord and my God. Thomas responds to the Lord. And so then Jesus says to him these words. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Jesus said, Thomas, you've seen me, and you believe. And then he goes on to give a message to those that would follow after the disciples. He said, because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Multiplied millions down through the ages have not seen and yet have believed. There are many more that need to hear, that need to know, that need to experience. The disciples believed because of what they saw. The disciples believed because of what they heard. The disciples believed because of what they had experienced. There are people in our world that need to see and to hear and to experience the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great opportunity as the body of Christ to carry this message to the world so they can hear and see and believe and be transformed by that experience. May we be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ as the disciples were faithful followers. And with the exception of one, all of them gave their lives for the cause of the ministry and for the commission that Jesus had given to them. We have opportunity to carry this message to a world in desperate need. May we be faithful. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to look at your word, to be reminded of this encounter of the disciples with the Lord Jesus Christ following his resurrection. We're thankful for the commission that he gave to them and to us to carry into the world the gospel message. Father, I pray for those that hear this message today. Many may have never entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ. They know about him. They know the story of his birth. They know stories of his life. They know about the crucifixion. They know about the resurrection. But they don't really know Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, remind us and remind them that if all we know are the facts of what happened, rather than having the experience of a personal relationship, it is just stories. But it's not about stories. It's about Jesus coming into our lives and being to us what he was to Thomas when Thomas responded, "My Lord and my God." Father, I pray for those today that hear this message that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that they may make that commitment today and say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God," confess their sins, trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and be transformed. Use this to minister to the lives of people everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And we look forward to next week when we'll meet again and we'll look at another post-resurrection experience. It's an encounter, a personal encounter between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus asked a profound question, "Do you love me?" Think about that until we meet again next week.